The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
It's faith that moves mountains, and I started about talking about four levels of faith. Because there are different levels of faith in the New Testament. Jesus talks about four different levels of faith. And it's important that we recognize that faith is not something that you just have it or you don't. Faith, every person has been given a measure of faith, the Word of God says. But what you do with that measure of faith is totally up to you. Because faith is increased. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Faith is increased by believing the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, trusting the Word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we've got to hang on to and recognize the importance of faith in our life. You don't come to Jesus Christ unless you put your faith in Him. You see, here's a big issue, a big problem that I see in the body of Christ, is that we recognize the necessity of having faith to believe for salvation, but we diminish it when it comes to believing for healing or for the miracles or for the power of God to move. We say, well, that's just the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. God will do whatever God wants to do. Well, that wasn't the way it happened with your salvation, was it? Come on, let's think about this a little bit. When you accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, God already did what He was going to do with His Son on the cross. Jesus was obedient. He went to the cross. He died for your sins. What did you have to do? Accept it. Believe it. Trust Him. Faith had to be activated. Faith has to be activated. When we want to see God move in any area of our life, we have to have faith. And it has to be activated. And the best way to activate your faith, to get it stirred inside of you, is through the Word of God. The Word is what will give you the kind of faith that you need. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is believing without seeing it come to pass. It's believing regardless of what the circumstance says. It's believing regardless of how big that giant is in front of you. It's believing no matter how awesome that mountain that you have to climb. Yes, in front of you. It's believing that you can do it. Not by your power. Not by anything that's in you. Except by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. You know, I want to make sure that we're not talking about humanism here. That it all comes from inside of you. You are a God creature. And it just needs to be manifest. Well, you're not. The God creature lives inside of you. Because you've accepted Him. And that's what empowers your life. That's what gives us the necessary ability to go out into this world every day and make a difference. To be kingdom minded. To be kingdom planters or kingdom extenders. Because you see, the kingdom of God, it's right here. We're sitting. We're surrounded by the kingdom. Isn't it wonderful to be surrounded by the kingdom of God? Doesn't it feel good? You feel good to be being surrounded by the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. I do. Some of you are saying, oh, I just want to get out of this place. Come on. This is good. It's exciting to be surrounded by the kingdom of God. But this is not it. Do you realize that we have taken this territory? Yes, sir. We have 5 acres right here. And every Sunday morning we come in here and we stomp and we shout and we take the territory all over again. Do you know what I'm talking about? Come on, we got to get this the right mentality here. This territory is already ours. But there's a whole bunch of territory out there that is not ours. And God wants us to go out there by faith and take that territory. It belongs to us. We've just given it over to the enemy. We've allowed the enemy to have dominance in our society. We've allowed the enemy to have dominance in our school system. We've allowed the enemy to have dominance in our just about every area, every mountain of society that I talked about a few weeks ago. And it is time for God's people to have faith stirred inside of them to know that he has called every one of us to go forth, just like he called Daniel to be in places of prominence, just like he called Joseph to rise up to the second highest position in the society of Egypt, the greatest nation of his time, just like he called David to rise up and become king of Israel. He's called us. Now, we're not all going to be kings. We're not all going to be on the right hand of the president. But my goodness, we can rise up and have a position of prominence in our society and make a difference every day. Yes, sir. I'm just telling you to be aware of the fact that God has a calling on your life. And that calling is not necessarily behind the pulpit. Yes, sir. It may be, and praise God, I hope that if it is, that you're obedient to that calling. But there are just as important callings out there. There's callings to be a business person. There's callings to be an executive. There's callings to be in finance so that you can pull some strings to finance the things of God. Come on, there's anointings. Yes. There's anointing to be in a restaurant business. Hallelujah. God knows his people need to eat. Amen. And we love it. Look, we want to eat good food. Hallelujah. There's an anointing for every area of life. I want to be excited about the things of God and recognize that by faith, we can go forth and do mighty things. In Matthew chapter 21. Verse 21, Jesus says to his disciples, after he'd cursed the fig tree and that the disciples saw this thing and they just couldn't understand what was going on. And Jesus said to them, and he's saying to us, he said, if you have faith and you do not doubt, you shall not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but you shall say to this mountain, remove and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. You shall say. Now, I just touched on what Jesus said was great faith. And I'll get into that a little more later. Whet your appetite for great faith. Touching on that is speaking and believing. Speaking it and believing it. Jesus said, if we can say to this mountain, if we can have faith and we don't doubt, you know, we've got to keep doubt away. We've got to keep it at a distance because it continually tries to come in, force its way into our life. And let me tell you, I want you to understand that when you go through great trials and tribulations in your life, that you're going to have times of wavering. Come on, we got to get real. We're not, I am not a giant of faith where I can just believe God and nothing ever bothers me. When I go through those difficult times, the enemy comes against me just like he comes against you. And he tries to make us doubt. The key to that is, it's not that you have those thoughts of doubt, it's that you do not dwell on those doubts. You don't let those doubts overtake you. You go to the Word of God and you find out that the Word, what the Word says about standing firm and being strong. You use these scriptures like Matthew 21:21. You recognize what it has to say and how strong you can be in faith. This Christian life is, you know, we're going to have those difficult times. A few years ago, I heard a story about Pepper Rodriguez, who was a football coach for UCLA. And Pepper was a Christian, but he had brought the wishbone offense to the UCLA Bruins. And the first few weeks of the season were not very good. In fact, his first year was not really good. And he said that it was really difficult because the alumni and the administration and all the people, everyone was against him. They thought that he was doing the wrong thing by using the wishbone offense. He needed to get back to something that was working for them. But he believed that he was right, that it was a good offense. So he stuck to it. And everyone was against him. He said the only friend he had was his dog. Nobody wanted to hang out with him. He told his wife one day, he said, "Baby, you know that my dog is my only friend, and a man needs at least two friends." So she went out and bought him another dog. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Your wife isn't even with you. But he said that, and things did turn around, and they did begin having successful seasons. But he said that football is like Christianity. When you know you're right, you stand your ground. When we know we're right, when we have the Word of God that says we're right, believe, trust, stand on it. We can know that the outcome, it may not look good right now, but the outcome is going to be right. It's going to be good. Amen. All right, the first thing we talked about, I just want to say a few things about this, unbelief or faithlessness. And in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus has gone into his own country, his own area. And he begins to teach and to preach like he did everywhere he went. He taught the gospel of the kingdom. That's what the word says. He taught the gospel of the kingdom, which is the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is around you. The kingdom is powerful. He taught the good news of the kingdom. Good news. And he went into his own hometown, his own area. And the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. Many mighty works cannot be done because of unbelief. Now, I'm sorry to say that when it comes to masses of people, if we as a congregation overall have unbelief, it can override faith and belief. It's evident in this. Jesus walked with power in his life, but he didn't do mighty works there because they had unbelief. Now, here's the thing about unbelief. The word here, apistia, the Greek word, it doesn't mean that they just had a little bit of faith. It doesn't mean that they were lacking in faith. It means that they had zero faith. It means that they had made a conscious decision not to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. It was an act of their will. So here's what I want us to know and understand as believers, that when we make a decision to do something, When this church decides that we're going to go in a particular direction and we believe that God is calling us, if you fight against that, if you make a conscious decision to say, well, I don't believe that's God's will, and I don't believe that's what God wants to happen, you can interfere with the will of God. And listen, I'm not trying to, I don't want to condemn anybody, I don't want to put anybody down, but I want you to understand that when we make decisions to do certain things and go in certain directions, it's not just on a whim. We don't just decide, oh, well, let's go. I think this would be a good idea. Let's go over here and do this, or let's go do that. No, we seek God, and we try to do what we believe God is speaking to us. Have we made mistakes? Absolutely, we do make mistakes. But I think we've had a lot more successes than we have failures, because we are seeking after God. And I just want to encourage you that when decisions are made around here at Bethel Worship Center, we're trying to do the best thing for the congregation. Don't let your unbelief get in the way. Don't let your act of will stop the move of God. It's very, very, very important, because that's exactly what happened. Those people could have been blessed beyond their imagination. And what did they do? Oh, we know you, Jesus. You grew up around here. We know your sisters and your brothers. We know your mother. We knew your dad when he was alive. At least we think he was probably deceased at this time. We know your family. You couldn't be the Messiah. We know you. Therefore, we have decided. We have consciously made a decision that we are not going to believe that you are the Messiah. Be careful with the decisions you make. Do not allow that unbelief to come in, overtake you, and stop you from receiving the good things that God wants for you. Okay, so that, it's a defiant act of your will, is unbelief. That particular word that is being used there, and I gave you several other scripture in my last message. The second faith, the second level of faith that I think we have to look at is little faith. Little faith. There's little faith. Jesus said, people have little faith. It's just not enough faith. It's a small amount of faith. It's a little faith, a small faith. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, beginning with verse 25. Let's turn there. Let's read this. Okay, beginning with verse 25, Jesus speaking to his disciples out. Speaking to his disciples here, and he says, therefore I say to you, okay, it's always our role to recognize that when we see a therefore, we want to go back and see what it's there for, correct? All right, because it's telling us something. Let's go back to 24. But no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So there it is. He's saying, listen, that's what the therefore is there for. So that we'll go back and see that God, that the scripture is saying, listen, you've got to either put your trust in God or you're going to put your trust in material things in this world, in money. And if you put your trust in money, money will be your God. And then he goes on to say to them, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add 1 cubit to your stature. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all the glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes, this is our scripture. This is the one we want to look at closely. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? All right, now here's the situation. You can have enough faith to receive Christ as your personal Savior. These guys walked with Jesus. There was people all around them that were following Jesus. Many of them believed that he was the Messiah. And yet, he's saying to them, if you don't believe that God wants to take care of you, then you just have little faith. Oligopistia is the word that is being used here, the Greek word, and that's what it means, small faith. So it's very possible for Christians who have made Jesus Christ their personal Savior to walk every day of their life with little faith. Little faith is not going to move mountains. Little faith is not going to allow you to walk on water. Little faith is not going to do it for you as a believer, as far as accomplishing the things that God wants you to accomplish. And yet, many people in the body of Christ, sitting in churches all over the United States, all over the world, have little faith. Little faith. All right. Let's look at a couple other scriptures. Matthew chapter 8. Beginning with verse 23. Now when Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Listen now, we can be very critical of these disciples here if we're not careful. You know, we get this idea of being out on Forked Run in a canoe and the wind kicks up a little bit. Right? Come on. And what's that like? Oh, why would they be afraid? But listen, I've talked to people that have been out on the Great Lakes in a small boat when the waves, Jim, you've been there before, when the waves are just 3 or 4 feet high and a storm has kicked up, and they said it's terrifying. You don't know what to expect. You're out in the middle, as far as you're concerned, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and these waves are going to engulf you. They're going to fill your boat. And these guys were out in a boat that held about 15 to 18 people. It was not a huge boat. And in this area, it was common for great storms to just, boom, come up just like that. Right away. How many have had a great storm just, boom, come up in your life just like that? Come on, that's the time when we are wondering, God, where are you? Where are you, Lord? We need you. It's not a time to doubt God. It's okay to ask him, God, where are you? I need you. But it's also a time to say, God, listen, you've promised me in your word that you're going to be here for me, that you're going to show up, that you're going to be on my side, and you're going to bring victory in my life. It's a time to do that, and it's a time to praise him. You know, come on, we recognize it. It's difficult. If we're not careful, we'll end up finding ourselves saying, God, you said you would be here and you're not. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you show up? Don't do that. Say, God, where are you? I don't know where you are right now, but I know what your word says. Your word says you are going to bring victory on my behalf. Your word says that I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Your word says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Your word says that I am the head and not the tail. Your word says that the enemy is under my feet. Your word. Stand on his word. Glory. Whew. Praise God, I lost my place. Amen. Where was I? Okay. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one. Okay. 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. I was way beyond that, wasn't I? Eight. Gee whiz, thank you guys. Woo! Man. That's why I have notes. Put them up there. 28, 23 through 26. Oh, man. If you are looking for somebody that's just right on the ball and sharp as the sharpest knife in the drawer, you got the wrong pastor. I think you're pretty sure. Amen. Now when he got into the boat, his disciple followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. There is a good lesson here for us. Listen, they were fearful, but they knew who to go to. You know, if you're having some fear in the situation that you're in, if you're wondering where and why God hasn't shown up, those disciples, they were afraid. But they knew who to go to. They went to Jesus. Even though Jesus was sleeping in the boat, they went to Jesus and they woke him up and said, Jesus, save us. They knew that Jesus was able. What he was trying to teach them was that, hey, listen, even if I'm not around, you have some power in your life. Even if I'm not physically present, you have some power in your life. Go to the Father, absolutely. But recognize that the Father has done the work that he's going to do in this earth on your behalf. Yes, he has. He sent Jesus to the cross, and Jesus' blood wiped away all our sins. Jesus' blood made us the righteousness of God in him. Jesus did it all on the cross for us. That's why he said, go. Go into the world, make disciples. Go with the power. All power and authority has been given to me. Go. A mandate to go in his name and do the work of the kingdom. Go to the Father, but recognize the Father has given to us through his Son. He has delegated to us the power and authority to accomplish great things. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 23. Go back to 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, is it not good to take the children's bread, throw it to the little dogs? And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Wow. We just looked at someone that had disciples that walked with Jesus that had little faith to a woman who was a Gentile that wasn't even supposed to be blessed, had the blessings of Abraham in her life. And Jesus said to her, you have great faith. Great faith. Why did she have great faith? Because she knew that if she came to Jesus, there would be healing. She knew that Jesus didn't even have to come into the presence of her daughter, that Jesus could just speak the word, and there was, boom, it would take place. Great faith. Great faith in knowing. See, that part of what I said earlier on was great faith is being able to say it, believe it, and then go on about your business without it happening right then. But knowing that it's going to happen. Knowing that our God is going to answer our prayer. Knowing. Sometimes when it comes to physical healing, sometimes we get physical healing just like that, and sometimes it's a process. And sometimes we don't receive it. Now, if I had all the answers, I'd give them to you. And I'm sorry I don't. All I can teach you is what the Word of God says. And Jesus, time after time after time, taught that healing comes by putting our faith in the Word of God and believing that it's going to happen. Believing and trusting our God. The only way we can stir that faith is by the Word. Hearing scripture like I'm speaking to you this morning, trusting in it. Listen, the last thing I want to do is bring any kind of condemnation on anybody. I love every one of you, and I want, if you have sickness in your body, I want you healed. I want you to be whole. I want God's power to miraculously be released in you, so that you receive God's ultimate power of healing. I can't make it happen. I want to tell you, you know, people refer to people, the individuals who pray for someone in the name of Jesus as faith healers. Well, I can tell you, I'm not a faith healer. I am a believer in Jesus Christ who believes that the name of Jesus heals. So when I lay hands on you, I'm going to believe with you that God heals. That the name of Jesus is above every sickness and disease. And together we're going to believe, we're going to trust our God, and I believe we're going to see miracles take place in Jesus' name.